1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
So, Vernon, tell me again what you've been thinking about.
Well, Phil, I'm not faithful to my wife. I will admit it. I started seeing somebody else, so I want to get that out on the table. I am not faithful to my wife.
Why?
There's no passion left in our relationship, so I've been forced to go outside to break my wedding vows and to seek passion and warmth elsewhere. Now, having said that, I found out last Sunday that the woman I am seeing dances in some place down in El Monte, you know, for money.
So you have been unfaithful to your wife, and you have an ongoing relationship now with another woman.
I have a relationship with a lady who dances at a club. I don't want to call it a club. It's one of these roadside places in El Monte. It's called.
Well, don't tell me the name of the place. All right.
Well, let me give you the whole ugly story. She's in there, and I stopped in for a beer on Sunday night, and she is.
Do you know that she was working there?
I'm familiar with the place. Yeah, and I guess you could say I missed her. I wanted to see her.
So you stopped in for a beer Sunday night.
And she's in there dancing for men, doing these, they call them lap dances.
Right.
And she's pulling the G-string down and rubbing everything all over him like an animal. And I found out.
Right, question. Again, what were you doing in this place?
I live in South Pasadena, and I stopped in for a beer on my way home from. We were watching some games with friends on Sunday.
And you had no idea that she worked there?
Well, I knew. No, I had no idea that she did this kind of work. I knew that she had worked there because she had been a waitress there, but I didn't know she was taking her clothes off and rubbing herself all over guys for $20 bills.
How long have the two of you been going out? And again, this woman, you're cheating on your wife with this woman.
Right, I already said that.
Well, I want to get the audience, it's clear in the audience's mind. And you find fault with this woman for dancing in a strip joint.
That is correct, yeah.
All right, how long have you been going out?
Well, it's only been 3 weeks, but my moral dilemma is, and my question for you would be, shouldn't she have told me that she does this? Because she dances in these places, and then I come over to her place, and men have been pawing her, and I think it's morally wrong for her to keep this from me.
Well, it's morally wrong, Vernon, for you to cheat on your wife.
Well, yeah, it may be.
You understand that distinction, right?
Well, it may be morally wrong, but since my wife cut me off, what am I supposed to do? So then I met Wanda, and we hit it off.
Your wife cut you off?
Yes, she did. She does not allow me to have relations with her.
Why?
I don't know if that's any concern of yours.
Well, I want to know. Why did your wife cut you off?
Because you're going to use this against me as a pretext to turn the listeners against me, all right?
Why did your wife cut you off, as you say?
Because of a complete misunderstanding. I had some involvement with her sister on the 4th of July weekend, and she was coming on to me. She is a drinker. She has been on a methadone program. She was inappropriate. My wife had gone out with the kids to get some chicken. And
did you have sex with your wife's sister?
To get her off of my back, yes. She would not leave me alone.
So what happened when your wife caught you?
Well, this is the worst part of this, because she's making all this noise, so my wife caught us, and now she's cut me off. So that's when I met Wanda, and we've had a very good relationship. Understand, Mr. Hendry, I love my wife very much, and I'll never leave my wife. I will never leave my wife. But when I found out that Wanda's a stripper, that drives me crazy also. So don't you think, and my moral dilemma is, don't you think I have the right to tell her to stop?
All right, you got a girlfriend who strips. You don't like that. You have a wife who has cut you off because you had sex with her sister.
And again, I want to emphasize, I was forced into it. She wouldn't leave me alone. She wouldn't get off my back all afternoon on the 4th of July.
All right, your moral dilemma is that do you have the right to ask Wanda not to be a stripper?
Yeah.
Do you, I'm going to give our phone number here in a moment here, Vernon, but don't you see or do you understand there is an inherent confusion in what you're presenting to me here? But let me give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You want your girlfriend to stop stripping, She's a girlfriend that you're cheating on your wife with, and you're the reason why you're cheating on your wife is she cut you off because you had sex with her sister.
And when you put it like that, I understand that I have done wrong things, but I'm trying to make my life right, and I think a man has the right to make his life right. And what I'm trying to do is have a good, I think, a relationship with Wanda that is morally upstanding so that when my children meet her, they will like her.
You're never going to leave your wife.
No, sir.
But you're going to have your children meet your girlfriend.
Because I don't want to keep nothing from my children.
Now you got your children meeting a girlfriend who's a stripper, but you don't want your girlfriend stripping. What is it that you want the audience to say to you? What is it that you want me to say to you?
I think it's one thing if I cheat on my wife. That's wrong. You're right about that. But isn't it worse for a woman to strip? Isn't it worse for a woman to strip?
Okay, is it worse for you to cheat on your wife, or is it worse for a woman to strip?
Right, so you can indict me all you want for cheating on my wife, but don't you think morally it's more degrading for a woman to pull a G-string down, man, when I think about that?
All right, stay with me here, okay? Stay with me here, all right, Vernon?
Yes, sir.
So, do I think that's morally worse? I don't know. I think somehow a guy cheating on his wife may be. I don't know.
Well, Wanda can do whatever she wants once I'm done being in a relationship with her. But while we're together, I am forbidding her to work in this line of work because I think it's filthy.
So you're planning on dumping her?
I don't know how long we'll be together.
How much does this girl make stripping?
Her tips come to about $1,500 a week.
She's not going to want to quit a job like that.
No, but I worked it out. She can live. I worked it out. She can live in the RV that we have, which I put in an equipment yard. She can live there for free. And I can I go over and see her. And
all right, so you're going to have her live for free in an RV that you've got at an equipment yard. What about transportation?
My brother lent me his Ford Ranger, which he hasn't been back to pick up, so she can use that.
So you want to just have a kept woman?
Yes, sir.
What about her entertainment needs? What about?
I'm all she needs. She can, you know, she can quit school. Because as long as...
What do you mean school?
Well, she's going to Cal State. I told your producer all of this, that she's...
All right, she's taking what?
She's taking pre-med.
You got a woman who is stripping for money, and she's going to pre-med. She's your girlfriend. You want her to stop stripping because you think it's filthy. Meanwhile, you're cheating on your wife with her. You see...
Well, you're playing all of this back to me. But the point is, don't you think it is morally filthy for a woman to take her clothes off for men more than me cheating on my wife because she cut me off, see? Now, that's where I believe...
Ordinarily, I would say a man who cheats on his wife is far worse than a woman who strips for a living, especially a woman who is stripping to raise money for school.
All right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. And here's the thing that you didn't say. The only reason why I cheated on my wife is because she cut me off.
You keep saying cut you. She's not having sex with you.
Right, that is right.
Okay, and the reason why she's not having sex with you is because you had sex with her sister on the 4th of July.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying here, Vernon? It started with you cheating on your wife with her sister.
Even though she wouldn't leave me alone and get off my back.
The sister wouldn't.
That's right. So she wouldn't get off my back.
So you had sex with her to what, shut her up?
Not to shut her up, but yeah, I guess you could say to shut her up, yeah. So I was between a rock and a hard place. I got to have sex with my wife's sister to shut her up. My wife finds out and won't let me have sex with her. So then I need to go out and find a girlfriend who strips. I don't like that. Don't you think I'm morally in the right telling Wanda to stop stripping?
No, not if she is raising money for... No, not at all.
Well, I think you're wrong, and it almost makes me sick when I think about Wanda and those $20 bills hanging out of her panties, and I suppose she's going to give those to a grocery store clerk. God.
You're upset about it.
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8666 as we continue our series on 9/11 a year later. How has it affected you and your relationships? This man is cheating on his wife with a stripper. He doesn't like the girl stripping. He wants her to stop what she's doing. And when I said to him, well, you cheated on your wife, he said, well, he's asking the question, what's morally worse? A man who cheated on his wife because he was forced into it because she, quote, cut him off, or a woman that strips? Let's take a poll here on the staff. Craig, who do you think's worse, the stripper or the you think the man who cheated is worse? Janice, what do you think? You don't know? Chris, you don't know? I would say that you think the stripper is worse, Chris, than a guy who cheats on his wife. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show, and we are solving today some moral dilemmas here on our post-9/11 program. And of course, the other thing that I would add...
Well, let me just jump in. I'm an ethical man. I need the woman who I'm sleeping with to be as ethical as me. That's all I'm saying.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. But that's the problem. Is he ethical? Cheating on his wife because she cut him off because he was sleeping with her sister. 1-800-449-8686. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. It's The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
At what point in a man's life does he say, perhaps it's all right for me to cheat on my wife because she's not giving me sex, and then with the girlfriend that he has selected, he demands that she stop stripping? You're out on your boat, is that right, Vernon?
Yes, I am, Phil. Say a 35-footer called the Aquila, and I'm out just off the wedge of Newport Beach right now. I come out.
And you're out there, why?
I just like to come out here and think. It helps me think. Maybe go out here and do some fishing. I'm not doing fishing today. It's a little rough. But if pursuant to what you were saying, Mr. Henry?
Yes?
If my wife didn't want me to have sex with her sister, she would never have left the house. She knew her sister had too much to drink, and she knew her sister was coming off a methadone program and had been in a halfway house for prostitution herself. So
here is a woman who's been arrested for prostitution and heroin, and you have sex with her because you say she wouldn't leave you alone.
And I suppose part of me felt sorry for her, yes, sir. But that having been said, that has nothing to do with the girlfriend I have now.
Who strips and earns money.
And earns money, yes, sir, for medical school, which I think is admirable, but she still don't have the right to do that. And my wife says to me, because I didn't use protection, that was doubly bad. I don't... personally,
you had sex with your wife's sister without any protection as well. Is that right, sir?
You
had sex with your wife's sister without protection.
She wouldn't leave me alone. I didn't have protection. I went ahead and did it, hoping that it would,
get her off your back.
Yes, sir.
Let me move over to Rosanna. Rosanna, welcome to the Phil Henry Show. You're on with Vernon Dozier.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Why doesn't this guy deal with his wife instead of having sex with his sister-in-law and with a hooker, a stripper?
She's not a...
Where's the morality in that?
Wait a minute. The stripper is not a hooker, is she?
Wanda is not a hooker. If she was a hooker, I could tell you right now, we'd be over. She strips.
Oh, but he has sex with a prostitute.
No, that was my wife's sister-in-law. She had been arrested for prostitution.
Why is it everybody else's fault but not yours? What's your responsibility in getting your marriage back together and figuring out if you have sexually transmitted diseases that you're passing around to people all over the place?
No, I've been AIDS tested. And you asked a question that a lot of people have asked. But here is, I've analyzed this. I coach high school football. I also have...
Oh, good God.
Well...
What kind of morality are you teaching your high school football players?
I don't know.
Having sex with people other than your wife?
Ma'am, I don't talk to the kids about my personal life. What I'm
saying... Oh, you don't think kids don't know what their coaches are doing?
No, I don't. Unless you tell them. No, ma'am, I don't. Unless they're following me around.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so
how
would they know?
Live in?
How would they know what
Why don't you either divorce your wife and have your relationship with your girlfriend?
Since 9/11, I'm trying to get on with my life.
Listen, I lost my best friend and my cousin in 9/11, and that is no excuse whatsoever.
You know, it's interesting. Everybody I talked to lost somebody in 9/11. It's like Woodstock. Everybody was there.
Oh, no,
if everybody was at Woodstock, there'd be about 2 million people at Woodstock. And if everybody that I talked to lost somebody at the World Trade Center, they must have had like 50 billion people killed over there.
Oh, you know what? You're trivializing something that's very important in America.
Well,
and blaming terrorists because you're having sex with other people and your wife won't have sex with you?
My wife cut me off.
Good for her!
This is what we're saying here, Vernon. You know, you can talk about your girlfriend being a stripper, but you were unfaithful to your wife.
With her sister, who I felt sorry for. So hang me by my thumbs.
You have sex with people because you love them.
I had. Well, try being a man, Rosanna.
I had sex with this woman because I felt sorry for her.
And I felt sorry for the fact that this woman had been in a methadone program and was trying to get her act together. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tricia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Vernon, I've been listening to this, and I'm pretty much surprised, but I agree with the host. I think it is not morally wrong for your girlfriend, who's a stripper, to strip. I don't think she's morally wrong. I think
she's
you are.
She's rubbing it up in everybody's face every night. She's got money hanging out of it.
You know why I don't think it's wrong? Because you have not made a vow to her. You made a vow to your wife.
Well, I think that what she does for a living is wrong.
How did you meet her? You went into the joint, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. But I had no intention of dating one of those. Forget it. I was not going to...
Then why don't you break up with her?
Because I love her. I love her. And I
After
want her
three
to stop.
Weeks?
I want her to stop.
After 3 weeks?
Yes, I do. I love her very much.
All right.
Well,
1-800...
I don't know.
Go ahead. 1-8... What was you saying, Tricia? Is that it? 1-800-449-8686. Basil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
What? I'm sorry, what was his name?
Are you talking to me or are you talking
yes,
to
him? Yes, sir. I forgot what your name was.
Vernon.
Vernon, I'm just wondering, I mean, does your wife, I'm guessing your wife doesn't know about this. This seems like a problem between you and your wife. And I personally, now after listening to all of this, not to be harsh or anything, but that girl that's stripping, as the person said, you have not made a vow to her, and she might be raising her money to go to school.
She's trying to make a living. So it's okay with you for her to be up there every night? Guys.
That is the only way she found to make a living. That is, I'm not saying it is okay. That might be the best line of work, but that is pretty much...
If she takes me out to dinner, let's say she takes me out to dinner and she pays cash, the money that she's leaving on the table for the waiter was rubbed all over some guy.
That is a lot better than me going and breaking my vow with my wife.
People are saying what you did to your wife, you know, breaking her vow is your vow to her is worse.
And even if she takes me out to dinner and is paying in cash, money that she had rubbed all over him.
And what is actually worse to me is it seems like she's making a good living and she's got her life together. Maybe she wants to go to med school. Maybe she wants to stop this line of work. But you're offering her something that isn't
Well, let me ask you
good.
Something. Let's see if the shoe's on the other foot, Basil. If you yourself were shaking your whistle on ladies' night to pay your way through community college, that's okay?
If that is my only way of paying out, then that is... At least I have an honorable intention to get out of it.
Everybody's saying about the same thing here. It's worse for you to cheat on your wife than for your girlfriend, who's not your wife, by the way. It's your girlfriend that you're having an affair with, to strip for a living. And you cheated on your wife with her sister.
Even though she was in a halfway house for prostitutes.
Well, it sounds like there's a communication problem between you and your wife. And it sounds to me like you may take this girl who might be, you know, starting fresh. I don't know how old she is, but she might be starting fresh. She wants to go to medical school, and you might change her life by asking her to stop because
it
seems
like you can. I got to think about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier, high school football coach, is sleeping with a woman who he wants to stop stripping, even though he's cheating on his wife. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Say that again.
When I had sex with Debbie, who is Nancy's sister, my wife's sister, she needed methadone, and I gave her heroin.
You gave her heroin, and then she had sex with you?
Because she was having a very rough afternoon, yeah.
All right, so now we find that you've provided drugs to a woman who was the sister of your wife. You had sex with her. You cheated on your wife. Now you got a dancing, a girlfriend who's a dancer named Wanda, and I hope that's not her real name, by the way.
Well, I didn't give her last name.
All right, well, let's forget about that, and you want her to stop stripping because you think that's morally corrupt.
I'm demanding her to stop stripping. I will tell her she's got to stop dancing and rubbing it all over guys, because when I think about that, when I think about my girlfriend rubbing it all over them, okay? And she's supposed to be loyal to me.
You weren't loyal to your wife.
Huh?
You weren't loyal to your wife.
That's a whole other issue, friend. If she's going to stop dancing, or I will... I know some things about her I can...
You're going to stroke out here, man, if you keep thinking this way. Here is Maria on the Phil Hendry Show. Maria, go ahead.
Hi, Vernon.
Hi.
I've got a comment to make to you. You're going to bed or having sex with your sister-in-law while she was sick mentally in a methadone treatment program just shows what kind of morals you have.
Oh, I see. So it's all my fault.
Well, you took advantage
heroin.
Of a sick woman.
I'm not the one taking heroin.
But you took advantage of a heroin addict, and that doesn't make you any better. And let me tell you something. As far as your stripper girlfriend is concerned, we wind up with what we deserve.
Hey,
and let me tell you, I think that's just what you deserve.
Let me ask you
for
something,
a girlfriend.
Maria. Don't you think my wife knew she took the kids out to get some of this chicken in a bucket or however they do it? Don't you think she shouldn't have left me there alone with her sister who's pawned me?
Well, so now it's your wife's fault.
You. Maybe she trusts you foolishly, but maybe she trusts you.
Trust me, with her sister who's in a halfway house for prostitutes and is in a methadone program.
Okay, so obviously you can't be trusted.
My wife should have known better than to leave me there with that.
Well, she should have, knowing what kind of a person you are.
See, you keep coming back on me. See, you keep
saying... You're darn right. That's what needs to land on you.
It doesn't make sense.
You had sex with a sick woman, that's all.
A sick woman?
Yes.
So if I have sex with a woman who's drunk... Is she sick? Or
if you have sex with a drunk, then she's not responsible. You are.
I think that's dirty pool. I think you're hitting below the belt.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think so. And I can't be trusted, huh? It's Debbie who can't be trusted. She's the one who didn't bring the protection.
And you know what? You get what you deserve, because you got wound up with a stripper instead of a decent woman.
Well, let's keep in mind that this stripper is paying her way through medical school, which isn't all bad, and she's not committing sex acts.
No, she's not. Just every night I'm at home... And I'm flicking through the channels on cable, and all I can think about is Wanda and that song. You remember that song? My mama told me, you better shop around, and she's dancing to that with all of these guys.
Sounds like you're getting off on it.
I'm angry. She's doing all that, and then that other song, you can leave your hat on, but you can take everything else off.
You know, it comes back to you getting what you deserve, sweetheart. You have no loyalty. Why should she stop doing what makes her a decent living?
He who sows the whirlwind shall reap it, Vernon.
What's that?
Darn right.
He who sows the whirlwind shall reap it.
Oh, so now I'm getting Bible talk, is that it?
It's not Bible talk. It's a truth. You know, what goes around, comes around.
Doing some Bible talk on me.
What goes around, comes around.
That's not the Bible.
We all wind up with what we deserve.
Is that more Bible talk?
Yep, if you want to call it that.
Oh, God, that pisses me off.
You know something? The Bible's old wisdom.
Yeah, it's the old wisdom, man, the old Bible.
Listen to the Jesus freaks. Hallelujah.
Maybe you should have.
Hallelujah, brother.
All right.
Maybe you should have.
Maria, thank
Good
you
luck.
Very much.
All right.
Not only that, I just come back from the doctor, okay? I guess you're going to laugh at this one, because it burns...
You, buddy, you got yourself in some trouble.
It burns.
Here is Michelle on the Phil Hendry Show. Michelle, go ahead.
Yes, hi, am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Sir, you know, I just got in the car a little while ago, and I've been listening to this entire story. And frankly, and I really...
Don't you know I'm in pain?
I think that you should seek serious, serious therapy. Your perception of reality is seriously altered.
How do you figure that?
First of all, by the way, if it urinates when you pee, you've got yourself a nice case of gonorrhea.
If it
urinates, you've got to run to the doctor.
If it urinates when I pee.
She means if it burns when you pee.
When it burns, rather. It burns when you pee.
I know that.
Yeah,
know
you better
that.
Take yourself to the doctor. That's number one.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot, Wanda, wherever you are. Thank you very much. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello?
I'm right here.
Go ahead, Michelle.
You're breaking up on me a little
bit. Go ahead,
bit.
Michelle.
Just, you know, I almost thought it was a joke that one would actually call a radio station and somehow manage to justify
no
that
kidding.
He's having an affair
mm-hmm.
on his wife
mm-hmm.
and justify that he slept with his wife's sister because he felt sorry for her.
Mm-hmm.
So you got an erection out of pity, I guess. I mean, I it sounds like a joke. I
ma'am,
can't even believe
I
people like
sorry.
This actually exist.
Seriously. And then on top of that, you go and get yourself a girlfriend and you demand to alter her profession as a stripper, which last I checked is not illegal, and she's raising money for her education.
And that's another thing, sir. You can't demand someone to change their profession so that, you know, they can please you for the period of time that you're using them because you're not getting it from your wife.
My moral dilemma
is... You know, it just doesn't work like that.
My moral
dilemma... I just want to ask the host of the show...
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I sort of missed the beginning of the conversation.
No, you got it all. That's
no, but I missed what this has to do with getting over 9/11.
Yeah, well, my producer set up a series of interviews, 9/11 a year later, how it has affected your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a very good question, because are you saying, Vernon, that you're entitled to have all of this extramarital sex because of 9/11?
I am trying, along with a lot of other Americans, to find a new way to live.
You live in New York, sir?
No, I do not, ma'am. And I will say this to you. The two of you are very judgmental, but I'm the one that's urinating red.
Well,
okay?
You need to see a doctor.
I'm the one who's peeing blood.
You need to see a doctor.
How are we getting...
But that really has nothing to do
Absolutely.
With your ethics. And you know what I find amazing is I'm listening to the radio, and I hear that he sounds like a very educated person. You know, we're not talking about an idiot here.
Where'd you go to school, Vernon?
I took my degree in physical education from SMU.
But
Southern Methodist.
Yeah. Your standards are just completely way off. They're not ethics and morals of a normal
I'm
person.
Having, you both of you can help me, because I'm having a hard time. I have been nothing but attacked. I have been indicted for all kinds. I want to have a highly moral relationship with my girlfriend.
With your girlfriend or with your wife?
With my wife won't have sex with me.
Okay.
Because...
So then,
because you had
question.
Sex with her methadone-addicted sister without protection.
Right, which, you know what, you have to accept responsibility. You know what, the bottom line is this. If you want to have a relationship...
Why can't she let bygones be bygones?
Wait, listen. If you want to have a relationship with your girlfriend, then whatever... I mean, you have to accept responsibility, number one, that you had an affair with your sister-in-law. I mean, you have to accept responsibility and say, okay, that's... because you felt sorry for her is not an excuse. That's ridiculous. I mean, you had sex with her because... I mean, maybe she was seducing you, but you had sex with her because...
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
You wanted to have sex with her. But if you want to have a relationship with your girlfriend, then divorce your wife.
All right, none of you have had the common decency to address the one thing that I brought up.
Which is what?
Which is the fact that if she takes me out to eat, she pays in cash, and that money she rubbed all over everything...
That's not a moral dilemma.
Okay, this is not a moral dilemma. This is a problem that you need to talk to a psychiatrist about.
A psychiatrist?
Yeah, this is absolutely like, yeah. I understand you have some connection with dirt. It's dirty money. It's been in a dirty place. You know, there's something wrong with
that. All right,
you have to recognize that.
Just so I'm clear, do you actually think me giving my sister-in-law heroin had something to do with me having sex with her?
You gave your sister-in-law heroin?
Yes, I did, ma'am.
You
gave
it to her.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he fully admitted that.
Yes, I did.
It has nothing to do with the fact... Maybe it has to do with the fact... Maybe it affected her decision whether or not to have sex with you, but it certainly didn't affect your decision to have sex with her.
Well, I feel sorry for you if that's how you feel.
Oh, come on. That's the only logical...
Let me answer another question that hasn't been approached yet. Do you have a daughter?
Mr. Henry, this woman...
Do you have a daughter, sir?
Do I have a daughter?
Yes.
No. No,
you
I don't.
You don't have a daughter?
No.
Okay. Then I would
No, yes,
concerned.
wait. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes,
oh,
I do.
Do
I'm sorry. I do, yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
Wait a minute. You didn't remember that?
I feel assaulted. I feel physically and verbally assaulted.
Okay, sir, I'm not trying to insult you and make you feel like you're less of a person. I'm just trying to tell you that you need help.
Wait a minute. Did you say your children walked in on you when you were having sex with their aunt, your sister-in-law?
I made that clear at the very beginning, Miss Ray. Don't pretend like this is news to you.
I missed the very beginning.
No, wait a second.
I
never heard you say that your four children walked in on you while you were having sex with their heroin-addicted aunt.
I want to make a really interesting point.
That is unfair for you to say that. You know I said that.
No, you did not.
Hello?
Go ahead, Michelle.
I just want to make a very interesting point, and then I'll let you all go. A couple of things. Well, you know, I'm from New York, and I was in New York on 9/11. And I have never in my life, have any of my friends, anybody who I know who was involved, who knew someone involved, this is unheard of. Everyone is moving on with their lives in a different way. What your scenario has absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, number one. Number two, and if you want to comment on that afterward, fine. Number two is this.
You know, you remind me of my wife. You know why, ma'am? You don't stop talking.
Well, I'm going to stop talking in 2 minutes, but just listen to what I'm saying. I'm going
to
stop talking in 2 minutes, and then you can go home.
I was in panties and a bra. My children freaked out.
If you have a daughter.
That was none of my fault.
If you have a daughter, okay, and your daughter was married to a man like you.
Ma'am, you didn't even hear the whole hour.
Thing.
You didn't even hear the whole hour. I had told Mr. Hendry that I was in bed with my mother-in-law as well as my sister-in-law and that my four children had come in and seen me. Now, that was all made clear.
Okay, but I'm not... Yes, I heard that.
With your mother-in-law.
Listen to what I'm saying. That's not the point that I'm making.
Because I was wearing panties and a bra.
No, sir, listen to me. That's not the point I'm making. The
good
point
God.
I'm making is this.
Yeah.
Is that if my husband did to me what you did to your wife, my father would kill you.
If your father would kill me even though your husband did it to you, why would
your father... So if you have a daughter, you think about a man treating your daughter how you treat your wife and her sister and Wanda. You need serious, serious therapy.
Let me ask you a question. If your husband did this to you, why would your father kill me? And you say, I need therapy.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
No, that's not what I said.
Said if your husband
that's
did it to you,
what I said.
Your
I
father
said,
would kill me.
I said,
wait, you know what she meant. You know what she meant. If she was with you.
That's exactly what I meant.
No, I do not.
Are you high, sir? I think what I said was perfectly clear. Are
everybody
you
said,
that you
my mother-in-law, had a...
Do you have a heroin problem?
No, ma'am, I do not, and I find that insulting.
I'm 12.
You know, my mother-in-law had a I Love New York t-shirt on while I was making love to her. Good, sweet love.
I think it's a joke.
Listen to the guy's out of his freaking mind. He's out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
I'm out of my mind when I'm talking about something that traumatized me so deeply that my four children are in therapy. And I'm
what traumatized you so deeply?
The fact that I've got gonorrhea today because of my wife letting me sleep with both her mother and sister.
Your wife allowed you to do that, yeah. How long have you been married?
The guy's out of his freaking mind.
How long have you been married?
Oh, the guy's, he's nuts. He's
nuts.
I think
it's a joke. It can't be real.
You joking with us? Are you joking with us?
There aren't people in the world who exist like this.
You're right. I'm joking. It's all a big joke. I'm joking about heroin, prostitution, morality. It's all a big joke. You're right. Thank you.
I think that you really need to accept responsibility for your own actions. And until you do that, you will be a very unhappy, lonely person.
I'm going to call you Debbie because you sound just like my blabbermouth wife.
But you love your blabbermouth wife, and you're never going
deeply
to leave her.
I deeply love her, yes.
Okay, well,
you
know what?
You've destroyed her and degrade her on the air.
Where do I get help? Where do you want me to get help?
With a nut doctor, with a head shrinker.
That's not my problem.
Somebody with a guy that deals with nuts.
A guy that deals... So you're saying that I'm nuts?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A guy that deals with nutcases, go to him, lay on a couch, let him talk to you about your heroin, your methadone, your sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, your four children, and your panties in brassiere.
Okay, thank you very much for not helping me at all.
Not my job to help you.
You asked your
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Henry Show, a program where the host also portrays some of the guests, and the people who call in think they're both real. I'm real, but the guests that I create, like the last guest there, Vernon Dozier, is a voice that I do. The people call in thinking is a real guy. Do you know what it is I'm talking about? You must be a new listener. Hang around for a few weeks. You'll get it. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. That's how you call in and be a part of our show. And in about, oh, I don't know, a week and a half, we will be in Las Vegas for our first ever Phil Henry Show listener meeting and party. The Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party. We will be at the Luxor. This is a hotel. If you check out their website, it's got an Egyptian motif. Vegas is a town that's got Excalibur, which is a medieval thing. And they have, certainly they have the whole desert thing covered. And like the what? You know, the Paris, they've got New York, New York, and now, of course, Cairo. And with the Luxor Las Vegas, they have perhaps one of the greatest nightclubs in the history of Vegas, the Raw Nightclub. Now, if you join us for our live listener party, you'll be involved in the Henry Happy Hour, which includes a live broadcast of our show. And if you liked the last hour of programming, you and you're new to our program, you may want to come and watch us actually execute a Phil Henry show. Then on Saturday night, we're not going to be on the air, but we're still going to be hanging out with the listeners. You can join us for a blues and brews party. And today we talked very specifically with our support staff about the kind of band and the kind of music that I wanted at that party. So if you're expecting Beatles and Beach Boys, I'm afraid you're going to be bitterly, bitterly to the point of stigmata disappointed. Because really the only music that I can stand is any variation of blues, rhythm and blues, rock and roll to some degree, but by that I probably am talking more about rock than rock and roll, and anything that is, anything that, you know, one would perhaps soak a harmonica in a glass of gin to play. You know what I'm saying? So that'll be happening on Saturday night. Now, the package is based on double occupancy. It includes Friday and Saturday night lodgings for two at the Luxor, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. What's in the King Tut Museum? You'll find out. King Tut might be in there. Who's in Grant's tomb? Okay, now you know what I'm saying. So the King Tut Museum, free admission into the Raw Nightclub after our parties are over. So you won't have to pay to readmit yourself to the nightclub. You can just stay there. And you won't have to stand in line, like a lot of people have to do when they try to get to these clubs. So that's going to be part of it. This package is worth over $500, but for you it's only $348. It's based on double occupancy, and the number to call is 1-800-288-1000. And as we speak, the packages are going. There is a limited number. They are on their way out the door, so you got to get in on this now. 1-800-288-1000, and you must ask for the Phil Henry package. That's 1-800-288-1000, a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now to be with the Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party, September the 27th through the 29th. This is the Phil Henry Show, back in a few.
...1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Get back to our news discussion here. So, Margaret Gray joins us, a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I was saying is, the only way you're really going to scare these Arabs, Phil, because the thing to remember about Iraq and all the Arab states that are aligned against us is essentially you're dealing with very superstitious people. Yes, the governments are sophisticated, but the people themselves are rather primitive and superstitious. What you do today, I think, will help you tomorrow. And that's why I tie all of this in with getting Christopher Reeve walking. If you want to win the war on terror, scare these people. And I've been trying, I think it's a really exciting idea. I've been talking to Tom Ridge, and Tom Ridge is, of course, the head of Homeland Security. So,
well, Tom Ridge is not involved in national defense. He's involved in Homeland Security. But what, saying that the Arabs will be scared by Christopher Reeve, who has been paralyzed for some years, I don't quite understand it.
Well, look, You're dealing with Arabs, as I said, who some of the world's most superstitious people. If they see that we have been able to make Christopher Reeve walk, even though he's paralyzed from the neck down, I swear, Phil, they will soil their sheets and forgive my language. Because I think...
You really think they're that prone to fear? What about the other, by the way, what about all the other paralyzed people? You're talking about Christopher Reeve being able to walk. What about all the other people who are paralyzed and who could use some of this fetal tissue research?
Well, I don't think the Arabs are going to bother about them. They don't know about... The only one they know is Christopher Reeve. He was hurt while jumping a horse. And if there is one thing these Arabs like, it is a beautiful, beautiful horse. You know that the Saudis love the stallions and they love the thoroughbreds. The Arabs have an affinity for horses. We have ignored this far too long. Here's a man who has sat in a wheelchair for 9 years. Get him walking. He wanted it by the 23rd. We have failed. Get Christopher Reeve walking. You kill two birds with one stone. You get Christopher Reeve up on his feet. You scare the living hell out of the Arabs. And I think you bring back to us a very beloved actor.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Why is this going to scare the Arabs? Are you talking about their superstition runs so deep that they believe if 1 minute Christopher Reeve is in a wheelchair? I don't understand.
Because we would show them our technology, Phil. Do you remember the Daniel Pearl video, how absolutely disgusting and gruesome it was?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Wait until these primitive Arabs see a video of Christopher Reeve walking, dancing, doing a Macarena or whatever. I don't know.
Well, Christopher Reeve isn't the only one. There are thousands of people in America and around the world with spinal cord damage. Why wouldn't that impress the Arabs?
Well, he is the most famous one. And when they do develop fetal tissue therapy, you know that Christopher Reeve has to be the first in line. I don't understand your comment.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you know that Christopher Reeve has to be the first in line to get fetal tissue when the time comes.
Why?
Phil, I think it's pretty much a given that when tissue transplant takes place, celebrities go to the front of the line. Bob Needlin was a friend of ours and had psoriasis of the liver. But when it came time to get a new liver, I said, Bob, you really don't think you're going to get a liver. They gave it to Mickey Mantle. They give it to celebrities to help promote the therapy.
Well, I still don't see what Christopher Reeve walking around and how that's important to the war on terror. I understand Christopher Reeve walking around may be important to get people feeling better, but the war on terror, you're saying...
Well, these camel jockeys... And
I'd appreciate not using that kind of stuff.
Well, you know something, Phil? There's no love lost between me and these people.
All right, but you don't have to go the camel jockey route, okay?
All right, these Arabs... Are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy.
These Arabs, when they get a load of Christopher Reeve walking around, the superstitious aspect of these people will scare them to death.
Why are you personally involved in this?
Why am I what?
Why are you personally involved in this?
Because I'm an American, Phil.
No, but why Christopher Reeve?
I'll tell you a story why Christopher Reeve. Phil, I was pregnant 3 years ago. And I was pregnant with a child that I am sure would have had Down syndrome. The reason is because my husband was very elderly, and I was approaching 50 at the time. I decided to abort.
Oh, my God. So you aborted your child because you thought it might have Down syndrome?
No, I did it for Christopher Reeve because I knew that if I had a fetus that I could abort, they could get the fetal tissue over to Christopher Reeve, and there was a possibility that he may be saved, that his ability at locomotion and mobility might be saved. And I say this to every woman listening to me right now, every woman within the sound of my voice, if you are going to have an abortion, think about what that fetal tissue can do for Chris Reeve, and yes, so many others, but first him and then the others. What good does it do us to help someone that no one knows is in a wheelchair when we could get Christopher Reeve up and walking around and at the same time photograph it, send it to the Middle East, and scare the living Christ out of those ragheads? And Phil,
I don't want the raghead comment, and what you're saying now is sounding a little strident, all right? 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You know I respect you.
You know, every time you say something, you always end the sentence with, all right, as if you're bullying me. I won't be bullied. I won't be pushed around. If we can get Chris Reeve dancing by the Emmys, we have an end to terrorism, possibly.
Well, I don't even think you believe what you're saying.
What?
The fact that if Christopher Reeve is walking, it'll scare hell out of the Arabs.
I'll tell you this right now. The more technologically impressive we are, the more the... And you don't want me to say the...
I don't want you using raghead, camel jockey, no.
The more the Arabs... Are you happy? Phil?
I'm here, okay?
The more the Arabs will be impressed and, yes, frightened. They are a primitive and superstitious people. They see a man in a wheelchair one day and then walking around and picking up litter and picking up recyclable bottles and everything that a man with locomotion can do. Those people will freak. And I say to every woman who is pregnant but doesn't want to keep the child, that if you are planning an abortion, I would suggest sending the fetal tissue to Christopher Reeve so that he can walk and we can be free of terrorism by scaring, yes, the ragheads to death.
By seeing our technology.
Yes.
I think it is a extremely controversial and slightly bent proposition that Christopher Reeve should be the first in line for fetal tissue transplant. And that women should abort for peace, as you're saying. And beyond that, I think it is insane to suggest that the Arab countries will back down once they see Christopher Reeve walking around impressed with our technology.
All right, that might be the case. But I'll tell you this right now. Getting Christopher Reeve up and walking brings back to the theater and the stage one of our great thespians. I've always believed that. We have to get him out of that wheelchair. And I'm proud that with a little igloo cooler, I took over the aborted fetus.
You did not.
What?
You didn't do that, did you?
Yes, I did. I'll listen to you. Like you're disgusted.
I'm thoroughly disgusted and I'm thoroughly disappointed. I think you've gone over the edge. I mean, it's one thing to have some guy on this show saying that he had sex with his wife's sister because she was on methadone and he did it in front of his four kids wearing a bra and panties.
Look, Phil, I left the clinic with a to-go bag. That's how seriously I took this.
You're never going to get women to abort fetuses just so they can have fetal tissue to provide for Christopher Reeve.
Well, then why is he in the newspapers complaining about Bush holding him back and the Pope? If it were up to me, the Pope and Bush would be gone. Because then we could start the fetal tissue research, and Christopher Reeve, yes, Chris Reeve, could be walking.
And as a side issue, we could scare the primitive, superstitious Arabs.
Phil, we now know from Saddam's mistress, who I was supposed to interview, by the way, that Saddam is crazy for American culture. You get Superman up and walking, his will crumble.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's been controversial. Fetal tissue research to try to heal people who are paralyzed. But to say that Chris Reeve is the first guy to get it because we need to get him up and walking to scare the Arabs. I mentioned all the other people that are paralyzed. She said, forget them. Christopher Reeve, first on the list. 1-800-449-8686. And then to say that she actually aborted a few years ago so that they could provide fetal tissue to Christopher Reeve is beyond low. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Margaret, tell me about your efforts What do you think about this possible war with Iraq? I know you have a young son who you're concerned with because he's an actor, right?
Oh, well, I'm concerned with Jason J. Delmonico, Phil, because I am his mother. But beyond that, yes, I am concerned because he is one of a group of young men who I think is coming up the ranks as one of our good young actors. He has done commercial work. He's doing some film work. And what concerns me most, Phil, and I told you this before we went on the air, about the possible war with Iraq, is that President Bush has made no clear-cut statement as to what he's going to do with our young actors, our young performers who may be drafted or may be needed in service. Now, I'm not...
Well, nobody said anything about a draft.
No, I know. No one has said anything yet. But does Bush actually think he's going to draft, for instance, my son, who has the possibility of a long-term film contract? Does he really think he's going to draft Jude Law, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Jason Priestley, the young, wonderful actor who I can't remember his name now, the young Matt Damon? Does he really think he's going to put them in uniform?
I don't know.
All right, well, I don't know whether he is either, but I'm warning him that he can't do that.
Well, wait a minute, Mark. You're not going to warn the President of the United States about... Elvis Presley got drafted. During World War II, all kinds of actors went into service.
Well, Phil, this is a different day. Today, the film business is multi-billion dollars. Back then, it wasn't really as much money, and no one really cared. But I want an answer to this question. Is he going to draft some of the great young actors, some of the Jason Priestleys, some of the Luke Perrys?
Jason Priestley and Luke Perry.
Well, you know who I'm talking about. Some of the fine young men, the Richard Griegos.
I haven't seen that guy.
Ben Affleck.
I haven't seen any of those guys. I mean, I've seen Ben Affleck, but I haven't seen Richard Grieco in freaking years, and maybe it'd be a good thing if he did get drafted.
Well, I don't think so, and I think Bush is really walking a tightrope when he tries to do that. And let me tell you something else. If he tries to put my boy Jason J. Delmonico in, there is going to be trouble like he's never had before.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a draft, okay?
Thank God.
But if there is a draft, I don't know that anybody is going to make a distinction between the actors and the non-actors out there.
Well, they better start thinking about it. Otherwise, we are going to have a world of hurt. There is going to be a can of whoop-ass, as my husband likes to say, a big can of whoop-ass opened. Industrial strength.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. We're talking about Iraq and the possibility of war with Iraq. 1-800-449-8686 with Margaret Gray. They have the inspectors back in there. Perhaps this is going to make things a little bit less pressure-packed with regard to war.
Well, I don't think so. You heard the president. He says that he's not accepting that. He's not buying that. I'm all in favor of us going to war. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, you are? Only with somebody else's kid?
Phil, I don't want you to put it that way. I'm simply saying...
No, you want us to go to war with somebody else's son, not yours.
My son has a lot of money tied up in his career, a lot of money tied up in his training.
And so does Jason Priestley and the rest of these guys, right?
Jason Lee, Tom Green, Jim J. Bullock, all of these people...
Jim J. Bullock.
Yes, all of them possible candidates for the draft. And I think we have to look at this.
But somebody else's kid can go off to war, just not yours.
I really wish you wouldn't put it that way.
Well, that's exactly how you're putting it. Everybody else's kid goes off to war and fights for America in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever the hell else that we go.
There are some families that could use war pay. I don't need it.
War pay? You know the money those guys get? They'd rather be back at their own jobs. War pay.
What about Macaulay Culkin? You don't think he's going to actually get into a uniform, do you?
I don't know. Maybe the guy's going to enlist. You know, there are a lot of guys that were enlisting and joining up because they wanted to. Like one of those guys, those football players.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, there's a couple of guys from the NFL that were making all kinds of bread, and they went down and they enlisted. They wanted to be part of it. And it could very well be that Macaulay Culkin or any of these other guys you were talking, Jason Lee, Tom Green?
You know something? He's worth a hell of a lot of money.
Tom Green, one of our great young actors. Okay.
God forbid that Haley Joel Osment pick up a rifle. Think of the loss. That's what I'm trying to get through to you. Think of the loss.
Think of the loss to any family that loses any kid, no matter how precious. Think of the loss to them, no matter who the kid is, no matter how precious or unprecious you may think they are. Think of that loss.
To that family, yes.
And what are you saying?
But the culture loses if a Matt Damon gets his brains blown out. The culture loses if Jason J. Delmonico gets killed. Do you see the difference, Phil? Do you see what it is I'm trying to say?
I think what you're doing, Margaret, is what you usually do in this show. You're trying to create a class system.
Phil, that is not fair.
You're trying to create a class system between...
Hollywood cannot go down to terrorism.
Well, the whole country can go down to it. How about Eminem?
I think he's very valuable, yes.
Okay, so we don't draft him. You're trying to create a class system like you always do between actors and everybody else. And our fine young actors can't go into the Army because they may get their brains shot out. There is no draft. I wouldn't worry about it. Not like there was in World War II or even in Vietnam. I wouldn't worry about any of these guys getting drafted.
But what if there is?
Well, if there is, then these cats are going to be up for grabs like everybody else. And there's not too much you can do about it, including saving Jason J. Delmonico.
You know, you say that name with such contempt that I think there's a little bit of jealousy there.
No, there's... I beg your pardon?
No, I really... I've noticed that you say the name of my son with such contempt, I think there's a little bit of jealousy.
I have no contempt for your boy. I'm saying that the draft board is not going to be impressed that he's an actor.
You know why I think you're jealous?
Oh, come on, Margaret.
No, seriously, do you know why? Because all of your kids are jocks, football players. There's not a one of them in entertainment.
Good for them. Good for them. Let them play sports. That's fine with me.
Imagine America would be a terrible place if we lost Gary Coleman, Gary Sinise, Gary Oldman to the draft.
Gary Oldman, that's great. He's 43 or something. 1-800-449-8686. Every time she's on this show, it's all about how the actors can't be drafted. Only everybody else's kid. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Right, from yesterday's show, we got Bob Green, who yesterday was talking about being the manager of a grocery store and getting sick and tired of listening to people complain to him about people in the 13 items or less line having too many items. And so when two women complained, he went over to some woman who was in that line and threw her out of the store. And then he got arrested for assault, and now he's blaming his customers for that.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
A couple of things. I would just like to know, first of all, I would like to have him define a typical housewife. Also, would he have done the same thing if this had been a 6-foot man, 250 pounds? I think he gets some perverse enjoyment out of seeing women do this. And obviously, the man should have, 23 years ago, thought about a career change because he needs anger management. There is something underlying here that is causing him to do this.
Well, ma'am, I'd like to respond. I love the grocery business. I've been in it for 23 years. I took management at the University of Southern California, and I love everything about food and food service, but I I can't stand it any longer with this 13 items or more thing.
Then get out of the business.
Well,
go find some other kind of career. Why did you spend 23 years in something that has allowed you to get this angry?
Because I didn't go into the grocery business to monitor 13 items or less. And to answer your other question, if
then
there was a man...
Then take away the lane. Just remove the lane. The 13 items or less lane. It's your store. You're the owner.
Well,
it's not like it's a chain
because
store.
Because some guy who comes running in at 10 o'clock at night and wants a pack of condoms, and I've taken away the express lane. Now
oh, so the guy wants the condoms, and
well,
that's
but this is
okay.
What you get.
But if the women are buying groceries in a 13 item less or
no, but
lane,
what I'm
then that's
is,
wrong. I think you really have a problem with
what,
women.
What?
And are you married?
With women? What do you mean I'm a
are you married?
With... I'm divorced.
Oh, okay. All right. It would be nice to hear your ex-wife's perspective on how you treated her, because I have a feeling that you treated her just like you wanted to treat these women here.
Well, I can tell you this,
you have a far greater problem.
I'm in a jail cell today because I tried to help two women.
No, you didn't try to help two women.
Yes, I did. They were bellyaching.
No, you didn't. You didn't try to help two women. How did you help two women? You pulled one out of the store and... You
one
said you told her.
Me,
you know, there is nothing.
Well, he said that two women complained.
Nice about this at all.
Well, let me say, are you saying, Robert, two women complained to you about?
Yes, that is right. Two women said there's a woman over there, and I went over and took care of the problem. And I said to them, "You want me to deal with this? I'm going to deal with it." So I'm trying to help them out, and look where I am. I'm sitting.
Well,
I'm sitting
you know
in the,
what?
In the day
I just
room
would
here.
Not.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's poor Bob. You know, there's something. It's amazing, but. There's something kind of relatable. And what was Margaret talking about? She was talking about needing Christopher Reeve to get back on his feet because the superstitious Arabs will believe it's a miracle. And, oh, yeah, I had an abortion to try to get him back on his feet, and other women should do the same thing. And if it ever comes time to get fetal tissue research going, that Chris Reeve is in the front of the line. And there's Bob Green talking about how he loves being a grocery store manager, but he can't stand it any longer when women are coming to him and saying there's somebody in the 13 items or more line. And so he goes, he grabs the woman by the arm, he throws her out into the parking lot, and then he blames the two women for bugging him about it. And now he's sitting there watching two guys playing ping pong on the roof of the L.A. County Jail because this guy threw some woman out of his store because of the express lane. Only on this show. Only on this show. And you got people buying it. I buy it. 1-800-449-8686. I do not in any way, shape, or form denigrate individuals that call this program because thank God for them. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Got this email from JR, and here it is. Phil, why did Canada get the French and the Americans the blacks? Answer, because the Americans got first choice. All right. Really dig that, especially in light of the recent developments there in the UN. Apparently, Saddam Hussein says he's going to let the inspectors back in. The whole world is buying it. They believe that the guy has the best of intentions. We think he's playing rope-a-dope. We're probably right. The guy's full of it. And guess who's leading the charge to allow the inspectors back in because at least it's avoided war? The French! So there's the answer to that question. Why did Canada get the French and the Americans the blacks? Answer, because America got first choice. By the way, I got a nice email here from Dale, who works for American Airlines. He said, "Hi, Phil. My wife said you had lost some artwork on a flight the other day. If I could be of any help, let me know." He works for American Airlines. Dale, I got a call this morning from American Airlines. Yes, they found the charcoal portraits that we had done of my wife and my two kids out there at Times Square and on Times Square in New York, and I had left it on the plane, and I called twice. We got a call today from Michelle. She says, "We have your artwork. You can stop by and pick it up, Mr. Henry, between 8:30 and 3:30. That means I got to go all the way down to LAX and pick it up. Maybe I can give the job to Chris because he's coming up from Long Beach at the 405. Goes right by the airport. The only problem is they ain't going to believe you're me. Will they? Will they ask for an ID, or can I call them? And if I call them ahead, why don't you wear a hat? Yeah. Tell you what, shave your head. If I call ahead of time and I say my man is coming in to pick it up, will they believe me? Will they say, all right, and will I know they got the message? I don't know. But in any event, I appreciate American Airlines doing that for me. What I should do is call them and say, yeah, I'm 6'3" with a long beard and long black hair and all kind of jailhouse tats. Oh, okay, Mr. Henry, we'll know that that's you then. Yes, thank you. And if we and if they ask for ID, just tell them, I forgot it at home. So that's that story, and all's well that ends well there. On other news here, bonding therapy leads to the death of a four-year-old, and the parents are charged. This is in Utah. A couple's been charged in the death of their four-year-old adopted daughter through water intoxication, an unconventional technique their lawyer said was recommended by family therapists to promote bonding. Richard Kilpak and his wife, Jeanette, were charged Monday with homicide and child abuse. He said the parents were dealing with a girl who was physically and sexually abused before being adopted and wasn't bonding with her new parents. He said the Cascade Center for Family Growth in Orem promoted forced water drinking for children with attachment disorder and that it was supposed to teach children to go to their parents for relief and comfort. Dig that. These parents had no intention of hurting their child. In fact, all this was done in an attempt to help the child through an extreme emotional problem. What planet am I living on now? Are you telling me now you give kids too much water, they need to go to the bathroom, and they'll come to you and say, I got to go to the bathroom, and that helps bond parents to their kids? You got to be putting me on. I don't believe this. See, I'm the first guy to say somebody got something wrong there. The reporter, he was on methadone. You know, it wasn't his day at the clinic. Something happened. He didn't get out of bed. He's fighting with his girlfriend. He got the quotes wrong. Anything. Please, God, anything. Please, let it be that Fox got it wrong. Just don't tell me that that's exactly what happened. They fed the kid too much water, so the kid would go to them and say, I got go pee-pee, and that's supposed to make them feel good between the parents and the kid? You force your kid to drink water and urinate more, and they love you more? Of course, they do say the same things about enemas, and I can tell you it's brought my wife and I closer together, but that's a completely different story. Center Director Larry Van Bloom denied that his therapist promoted forced water drinking. Oh, now they deny that they do it. No, we never recommended, he told the Daily Herald of Provo. Danielson accused the center of disavowing the practice to avoid criminal liability. Danielson, by the way, is the attorney representing these two people. The Kilpaks called 911 on June 9th. When their daughter was having difficulty breathing, she died early the next day. Danielson said the Kilpaks gave their daughter three glasses of water, but the prosecutors were alleging it was more. The question boils down to whether this was reckless behavior. Way out there. Way, way out there. I'm so glad that I was born and raised in the manner that I was. And believe me, I come from a terribly troubled background. Terribly troubled. Both of my parents divorced. My mother and father used to talk to themselves. My dad had an anger issue. My mother had other issues. You know, my siblings were all whacked out. I come from, you know, I was sleeping on a couch my senior year in high school. I was shoplifting food because I was hungry. I mean, literally, all these things happened to me. And yet I had it way better than this poor kid who came into this home because she'd been abused and has now left the planet Earth. From, I guess, well-intentioned parents. She was abused. She's adopted. We're going to make you feel better about your life. Here, drink all this water. You can't breathe. You're dead. She thanks. 4 years the kid lived. 4 years. She left the troubles here. I kind of like to think about that movie Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks and Rip Torn. You ever seen a movie? It's fantastic. But you got to go and you got to defend your life. You know the one I'm talking about, Janice? And when he says, what about children? He says, children automatically go on. They don't have to defend crap. If you die young enough, you just move right on to the upper levels of the universe. No kid's got to defend anything. I like that. I like it a lot. But I'm sentimental that way. Are we hearing more about abused kids because there's more abused kids, or is it just making juicy copy? Either way, it sucks. And my wife does nothing but drink water. They find her dead one day. It's going to be my fault. She is big on water, man. Do you got a wife like that? You have friends like that? My wife is big on the water kick. Oh, yeah, water. Water, 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 water. That's her favorite thing. Water, 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 water. What are you doing, honey? I'm having a Diet Coke. Oh, I really wish you wouldn't. I wish. I know. I'll drink some water. Water, 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 water. You know, we're lined up at the bathroom 16 deep. I got about 15 cans in my house, and they're all busy. Can't get into any of them. Now I'm out back peeing on the grass. No wonder that my gardener's standing there going, I don't know, you know, it's like one hole here. Well, what's my fault? What is, I can't get nothing to grow here, man. I know, I peed out here one day. You what? What do you pay me like a couple of hundred a month, man? I can't get anything to grow. You're peeing on it? You know how much money you spend on the landscaping? Craig thinks that I've got toxic pee. Let me tell you something, friend. Everybody's is. Yes, it does kill grass. Everyone's does. Everyone's does. See, Taylor thinks he's better than me because he could pee on grass and it'll grow higher and greener. It'll make it more lush. Seriously, my friend, if you don't believe that what you are expelling from your system is toxic, then I would like to invite you over to my place for a couple of drinks. And I got a special mixture. Jesus, Taylor. Maybe I ought to drink more water, he says. Let me ask you a question. Are you the only guy? Dogs, humans, it doesn't matter. The stay, it's deadly, okay? And when I was a kid, my brother and I had a room way in the back of the house. I think I told a story, but I'll tell it again. We had a room way in the back of the house, so we didn't want to traverse all the way to the other end of the house. There's like two bathrooms in the house, and my sisters used one, and my parents and me and my brother used the other one. So we'd have to go, and it'd be cold, and you're tired. And so I would open the window, the back window of our bedroom, and I'd get myself up on the sill, and I'd pee right through the screen. And my brother would do the same thing. And then, you know, like 2 weeks later, I hear my dad, I can't get this gardenia to grow. What do you want? Thing's dead. What you do is go down to the nursery and get another one.
Well, I already got two of them, honey.
Well, it's no good. They're selling you lousy gardenia bushes. They're dead. They're dead. And there's nothing you can do about it. He didn't know that his sons were killing the gardenia bush. But for you to sit there and look at me with a straight face and say, my pee doesn't kill anything. It makes things grow greener and lusher. I'll tell you right now, I thought you were a pal of mine. But then, of course, there's the story, the very famous story, of a very dear friend of mine who was giving me crap one day. Giving me a whole slew of crap. We were rooming together, and this guy is giving us a hard time. I'm sitting there with a friend of mine, and this guy is talking about how dirty we are. We got to clean the house up, because guess what? He's got a date that night. And why don't you guys clean this dump up, right? And we're sitting there having a couple of beers, and we're watching some football game. And this guy says, ah, you guys are slobs, and you're losers, too, because you don't have a date. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. So he goes in. He draws a bath for himself. You can hear the bath water filling up. And then he goes in to get dressed or whatever, or get his clothes. So I put my beer down. I walk very amiably and very slowly over to the bathtub, pee in it, and then go back and sit down on the couch. And all I remember is, after that, hearing him just kind of splashing around and soaping up in the bathwater. So you see, there's two ways of going about it. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Join us in Las Vegas the 27th through the 29th for the very first ever Phil Hendry Show listener party. It's Phil Hendry live at the Luxor Las Vegas party the 27th through the 29th. Never before have we assembled all of our listeners far and wide from across the land, across the country, from Oregon to Florida, from Los Angeles to, I forget where, what's up in the far, is that Maine? Maine? From California to Maine. From Oregon to Florida, and from Oregon to Washington, and from Florida to Georgia, the vast expanse of this country, we are grabbing all of our listeners, packing them into Las Vegas, all 400 of them, packing them into Vegas the 27th through the 29th. We got a couple of packages left and we'd like you to join us. Here's what you get. You get to watch us do our show live. You get to be a part of the Hendry Happy Hour. You get to be a part of our Saturday Night Blues and Brews Party. You get to be, you know, You get to be with me. You get to hang out with me. You get to stay at the Raw nightclub after our parties conclude. So you don't have to get another admission into the club. You also get a couple of passes to the Oasis Spa, the King Tut Museum. You'll get two nights for two at lodging at the Luxor. So that's two nights for two people, Friday and Saturday night at the Luxor. The package, worth over $500, is only $348 based on double occupancy. This is a deal. This is a steal. This is real. It's tight. 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. It's the rumble in the jungle. It's the thriller in Manila. Whatever. It's 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Henry package. Ask for the Craig Taylor package. See what happens if you ask for that. Ask for the Chris Pelton package. But if you ask for the Phil Henry package, you'll actually get something. If you ask for the Chris Pelton package, there ain't much in there. Now, anyway, joking around here, Chris. Don't worry about it. Anyway, ask for my package. 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. That number again, 1-800-288-1000. Remember, you can't get into any of the parties. You won't be able to get in and look at me and stare at me up and down and go, oh, you're the guy that does the voices, huh? And, you know, kind of follow me around but not ask me any questions and gradually just bug me until I flee the place. You won't be able to do any of that unless you have a ticket to one of our VIP parties. So the only way to get that ticket is to get that package. The only way to get the package, 1-800-288-1000. I was going to do this whole rap on lethal injections and capital punishment and how much fun it can be, but we don't have enough time. But what we have coming up for you, Saddam Hussein roast. We're going to actually go into the Friars Club there and roast Saddam on this, the occasion of his, you know, 8 millionth year in power. He's a swinging cat. And then we're going to take you on a tour of Iraq and find out where all of these weapons are stored, because by God, if you thought that was a weapons dump, I think that's a Home Depot. I think you guys have got it all wrong. 1-800-4- What's the number? You sure it's 449? I don't have it written down anywhere. I've had it memorized, but the accident, you know how it is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Well, thank you, and welcome everyone. This beautiful night. We're here for the big roast of Saddam Hussein. I know Saddam's over here.
How you doing?
Just great, everybody. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, this guy, I've known this guy for so many years, back with the Ba'ath Party, you know, he took over and kicked out the emperor, the king, and all of it. I don't know what's going on. Everything was goofy. But he's held on to power. He's some kind of a nutcase. Let's hear now for Saddam Hussein. I'm going to bring up some guys here tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit, a little trash, you know, drop some crap on you. I hope you don't mind, Saddam.
That's all right.
Good. Let's bring up now Sheikh Mohammed. Sheikh, come on.
Thank you. By the way, Saddam, you know, I hear, are your parents siblings? I just wanted to be clear on that. No, but seriously, I'm very happy to be with all of you tonight. Saddam, I've known him for a long time. He's a guy who has done so much for everyone. I understand he's better at sex, in fact, than anybody. Now all he needs is a partner. But, you know, hey, I just saw Salami Reiner over there. How you doing? This is a guy, he's living proof that man can live without a brain. And you like that? Yeah. So I really don't want to say Saddam's great in front of a large crowd. I'll never forget your first words, Saddam, in front of a big crowd. Peanuts? Popcorn? But seriously, he is a guy. By the way, can I borrow your face in a few days? My ass is going on holiday. All right, real good, Sheikh. Yeah. There he is.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful material, huh? With that Ali Bin crystal bit? Yeah, okay. Now let's bring on a great cat. I think he's working down at the Camel Room this weekend. Here he is, Jamal Friedman.
Here he is. Jamal, come on in, babe.
Hey, beautiful, beautiful night. Everybody's here, and I'd like to say that we're glad you're here, Saddam. I'd like to say it, but I... can't say that at all. No, but really, Saddam, you have been an inspiration, I think, to many of us. Down through the years, you've been someone that that we've all admired. I don't know what makes you so stupid, but it really works. I don't know exactly how you do it. But, you know, I'd like to help you out. Which way did you come in? Bring on Whoopi Binberg now. Whoopi, all right.
Yeah, it's not too much. You know, I'd love to go out with you, Saddam. You're my kind of guy, but my favorite commercial's on TV. So I won't be able to do it. And you know something? I've seen people like you before, but I had to pay admission. It's just great. And if ignorance is bliss, you must be the happiest guy on earth.
So thanks a lot, Whoopi. All right, that's great. By the way, Whoopi, come on back out here because I got something for you. All right, now Bobcat Gold-Layton. Here he is, Bobcat. How you been, babe?
Yeah, I'm, no problem. You know, I don't know what makes you so stupid, but it really works. And somebody else...
What you get for that? Okay, now let's bring out another great cat, a guy that I've been, a guy that I'd like to sleep with, Robin Williams Muhammad. Here he is.
Thank you, thank you. Pardon me, but you've obviously mistaken me for someone who gives a damn here. You know, I love Saddam because he is a man who, he's a man with a great deal to offer. In fact, if you stand close enough to him, you can hear the ocean. it's what you don't know that can't hurt you. If that's true, he's invulnerable.
Okay, that's for that. All right, let's bring on now Sam Kinnish-Layden. Here we go. I want to say... All right, now let's bring out another great guy, and this is Yamal Friedman. Yamal, come on back out for a... No, he can't get that line out either. How about Ahmed Seinfeld? No? Okay, he's... That's the end of the show, folks. Sorry. We'll be back next week with another roast of somebody. Oh, here comes Sanjay Letterman. Sanjay, do you want to see... Forget it. No sense of humor, this guy. Back with more of the Phil Henry Show in a minute, right after... Back with more of the... We'll be back.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
You know, you'd be surprised across this wonderful land of ours, the method of execution in Alabama, it's electrocution. Most places, it's injection. In Idaho, it's both lethal injection and firing squad. In Florida, it's lethal injection and electrocution. And Florida has the famous Sparky, which is the chair that kept on malfunctioning. Not that of all the things in the world that we need to get fixed, I don't know that anybody is really all that hot and bothered about getting somebody over to get Sparky cranking right, you know? I can think of a few things that I need to clean up the oil spill in my garage. I got a freezer that I'd like to have installed. I need to have my car tuned up. Sparky's down the list a little bit. But it was malfunctioning. In California, the state that I grew up in, I can remember, as a kid, generally, it was always, you're going to get the gas chamber ready, you'll get the gas chamber. All those cornball movies, you know, oh yeah? Well, what do you think about the gas chamber? Gas chamber. It was the gas chamber. And the con slang for the gas chamber was, watch out, or they'll drop a pill on you. Because you sit there in the gas chamber, and then they drop a gas pill in there, and it's a gas. In Missouri, it's gas and lethal injection. Most places, lethal injection. Arizona, lethal injection. Arkansas, lethal injection. Colorado, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Montana, lethal injection. New Hampshire, lethal injection. New Jersey, yada, 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 yada. But then you come up to these states like, and you didn't give me Wyoming or any of those places. Is there a reason why I don't have the W's on this list, Janice? Oh, here it is, yeah. Check this out. Washington State has hanging and lethal injection. Why? Why is there a choice between hanging and lethal injection? What guy would want hanging? Unless you're a one of those very serious masochist types who enjoys every aspect of his criminal life and the potential punishment. There are guys like that. They not only enjoy the pain they've inflicted on other people, but they're looking forward to their own execution. That's serious, too. I mean, I could bring up examples, but why bother, man? It's close to dinner time, and, you know, why spoil everybody else's meal? I'm already spoiling my own thinking about it. So there's Washington with hanging and injection. Wyoming has gas and injection. Utah has the firing squad, as well as Idaho. Is it tradition that they hold on to these rather arcane ways of ending somebody's life? Is it just tradition? Is it what sets them apart from other states? And hanging, have they finally got that down so that the rope doesn't break and the guy doesn't, you know, because this is the, of all the things that could go wrong, that's the one. Like, the guy did not the rope right. The guy's too heavy. It broke the rope. And is that true that in the days of the Old West, if a man broke the rope and he landed and he didn't hang, he'd get away? I don't know. He could run away. They'd set him free. Well, tell you what, Butch, the rope broke. You're out of here. Really? I didn't have any idea. Go ahead. Go on. You're free. Well, that's great. See you later. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry I killed the person, but... Firing squad. That's another one you could miss. You got a guy in a firing squad, I wouldn't trust that at all. Now, all these states give you an option. And if I've got the option between hanging and lethal injection, I know the route I'm going. And the same thing with firing squad. Firing squad. I keep thinking of a guy with a blindfold and a cigarette. Do they let you do that? And like 16 guys. With the real firing squad, they only have one. One guy, yeah, apparently it's one guy with a rifle. And you never see him. And there's a bullseye right over your heart. How do I know all of this? I saw the Gary Gilmore movie starring Tommy Lee Jones. I don't know. I mean, that's... But apparently they put a bullseye right over the heart, and one guy comes in, and personally, I'd like the bullseye to be right between my eyes, just here. And I'd like the guy to have a machine gun. Is that it? You're the guy. Right. Give that guy a machine gun. Give a machine gun and aim for my head, big bullseye between the eyes. Then they have, of course, electrocution, which is, there's one state in the entire union, actually two states in the entire union, Nebraska and Alabama, that only electrocute. Oh, in Virginia, there's three, excuse me, that only use the electric chair. It's got to be one of the most obscene ways to put somebody to death. Just give them the lethal injection and let it happen, okay? Now, the whole idea of somebody watching, what is that? When they invite the family and they invite reporters and they let them watch, is that closure for those people? I'm honestly asking, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Is it closure? Because I've heard more people say this after they've seen someone put to death who murdered a family member. I've heard them say, it doesn't really make any difference. My loved one is gone. It doesn't matter. It didn't give me any real feeling of closure. It's nothing that I feel good about seeing. You know? Oh, who am I kidding? Just use the machine gun. I think that they would feel a lot better. There can't be any kind of closure looking at a guy getting a lethal injection, okay? But a machine gunning, that would be good. Is it cruel? Is it unusual? No, I bet you a guy goes just as quick with a Gatling gun as he does with a lethal injection. I bet you he's dead instantaneously. Guy stands in a room, you back in a 80-millimeter machine gun and just start going. I bet you it gives a lot of closure. The reason why we're bringing all of this up is because of that clown Westerfield. That scumbag has been sentenced to death by the jury, and the judge is going to go out and see if he agrees with him. Apparently one of the jurors couldn't take it anymore. She had to split. The whole thing was so disgusting. They deliberated 17 hours over 5 days before reaching this decision. To recommend the death sentence, the jury's decision had to be unanimous, and it was. This guy Westerfield, apparently everybody said he was a real sweetheart, that he never meant anybody any harm. He was good to his family, good to his mother. He picked up the bill on his brother going to the nut house or whatever the situation was in the family. And they all argued that the guy ought to be spared, and of course he wasn't, and that's okay with me. I wonder why people say that if you're a liberal, you can't be in favor of the death penalty. I'm very liberal, and I think the death penalty is a phenomenal idea. It is a phenomenal idea. It's called Justice. Justice. J-U-S-T-I-C-E. Justice. Named after the ball player. Justice. That's what it is. Is it an eye for an eye? No, it's not an eye for an eye. It's justice. Individual took a life. The only just thing to do is to kill that person. Now, that doesn't make me a raving conservative. You got to be out of your freaking mind. As a Democrat and a believer that government can do good things, that's one of the good things I think government does. Grease people. Just like armies and navies and coast guards and air forces, those are all government projects. I'm very much in favor of those. So are the police and so are the firefighters. Those are government projects. I'm down with that. The idea, for instance, that if you are a conservative, you've got to be in favor of the death penalty, that doesn't really follow. That doesn't really follow. Conservatives want less government, not more. So conservatives, you would think, would allow for a man not to be subjected to the will and the whim of government. You would think the conservatives would want a guy to have bunches of appeals and, you know, trying to wheedle his way out of the government dictate. It's entirely consistent for me, the liberal Democrat, to be in favor of the death penalty. It's big government at its best. And the more of it, the better. That's why I like Kentucky and South Carolina and Utah. They give you an option. Firing squad, lethal injection. They ought to bring back the guillotine, if you want my honest appraisal on the whole thing. That thing, can't miss with that. There ain't no mistaking when that blade comes down. Wow, there goes the head. I think he's dead. What do you think, Charlie? Did it, maybe the blade was too dull? Lethal injection, firing squad, it's all very fine and dandy. You drop that blade down, that guy's head goes rolling into the basket, and I don't care if it's staring back at itself, he's done. He's done. That's not cruel and unusual. Unless what they say about guillotine is true, when your head goes, it rolls away, it's like staring up for a while, you can like still see stuff. How do they know that? That's the biggest pile that has ever been shoveled since Dumbo came to town. How do they know a guy can still see 2 minutes after his head's chopped off? What, did they get the microphone down there? How's it feeling, Charlie? Not too good. Yeah, right. Sure. They asked him. All right, we're here, the big guillotine, and looks like Lefty Gomez, the guy's dead meat. Here comes the guillotine. All right, we're going to go up and... Lefty, are you dead? Yeah, I would say so, man. Is your body... No, it's... I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at you. You feeling good? No, I don't feel good at all. Why? Because in 2 minutes, this is history. Is it hurt? Not really. I need to scratch my knee, though. How do you feel? I feel a little lightheaded. I feel a little lightheaded. Wow. So the guillotine, and of course the guillotine was used, as you know, everybody knows that France used it, but did you know that Nazi Germany used it? Yes, they did. That was the preferred form of capital execution in Nazi Germany for the, 12 years of the Reich, the guillotine. And that's how they put people away. And hanging, I think, using piano wire on occasion. But generally, if they liked you, there was the guillotine. It's something medieval and gruesome about it. I understand that. But the point being, if the idea is to put somebody to death through a method that is not cruel and unusual, it seems to me that that's about as foolproof as you can get. What do you think? The firing squad, the electrocution, the injection, what else did they have? They have some other things like, how about withdrawing and quartering? I think that I saw Braveheart. Looks like fun. Jesus. The rack. How about the Iron Maiden? Stretch a guy out. Drag a guy behind a horse. I know. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Dennis. Dennis, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. You know, on the hanging thing, I think if I had to pick one, hanging would be the way to go. Because they have a chart based on weight, and if they do it right, you fall far enough that your neck breaks when you hit the bottom, so you die instantly.
Well, you know how that's all based, though, on somebody's calculations? just like a firing squad, you know, the so-called firing squad is based on someone's calculation that there's the heart and I've got to get the bullet through the heart from I don't know how many paces, right?
Right.
And exactly. And it's even true of lethal injection, that somebody has to calculate how much of this juice needs to go into your body to kill you. But a guillotine, gee, you can't go wrong.
Oh, you're absolutely
down
right.
Down comes the blade,
bring it back.
Your head goes rolling out, and this bullcrap about how your head lives for two more minutes, this is stuff that Pelton saw on Faces of Death, and he still believes it, you know.
You know, you're going to die anyway. What's 2 minutes of your head looking
well,
like?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I got to die, I don't think I'd mind going out just kind of staring at people, blinking. Blink, if are you all right, Blinky?
Yeah.
Guy's going to blink, you know. This sucks. He's saying it sucks. All right, man, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. A photograph of a mother nursing her baby travels the world via email. It is an image of maternal bliss, of bonding, of life itself. But the woman is Nigerian, and she's not married. Because of that, after Amina Lawal weans her daughter, she is to be buried in the ground up to her chest and then stoned to death. Her crime? Having a baby out of wedlock. The sentence by a religious court. What do you think of that? Buried up to your neck and then stoned to death. Give us a call. Do you see what I'm talking about? Every time I talk about America and how we always, we agonize over being civilized human beings. Is this a Muslim deal or is this the Nigerian? It's a tribal deal, isn't it? It's a religious court. I bet you it's a Muslim religious court where they stone you to death because you had a baby out of wedlock. They bury you up to your neck in dirt. Oh, that's swell. How about if we just stretch a guy over an anthill? That's a nice one. The Indians came up with that one. And, of course, there's scalping, and there's the funeral pyre. There's a number of wonderful ways that one can go out. Burning at the stake. We used to use that to great effect. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with more of this fun talk on The Phil Henry Show. By the way, www.theelectricchair.com/torture. Check it out.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, we predicted on this program, not that we do predictions and not that we think that we're just the greatest thing since canned beer about different things that we predict, but our program does tend to predict things that will happen, either in a bit that we do or something we might say. For instance, the Anna Nicole Smith show we thought would go up in flames. It looks like it's about ready to. According to my sources, that show is just about ready to be stuck in a can and left in the street. That's according to my sources. Now, let's get back to what we were talking about. Let's get back to the fun stuff. Why talk about Anna Nicole Smith when we can talk about being drawn and quartered? What in the hell? Anyway, this lady in Nigeria, this woman, had a baby out of wedlock. Now, according to religious law, and yes, we were right, it's Muslim law, she's going to be buried up to her neck and then stoned to death. Most knew that Lawal, this woman's name is Amina Lawal. She was 31 years of age. Most knew that Lawal, a 31-year-old village woman, lives in the northern state governed by Sharia, a radical interpretation of Islamic law. This is in Nigeria. About a year after her divorce, Lawal got pregnant. Her baby, now 9 months old, is proof of her adultery, according to the Muslim judge, who ordered her stoned to death after she weans her baby in January 2004. There are some Americans that are getting involved in stopping this kind of behavior. You know, I believe that if there's something disgusting and atrocious going on in another country, that it is entirely our business to stop it. That's what I believe. Now, I know a lot of people don't want us to get our noses involved, and they don't want us to get our noses pushed out of joint by every little thing that happens. And it's true, we can't. But if the people of this country, if the people of the United States believe that this is something that we need to get behind, then we need to get behind it, right? It's like, how long do you want to sit around and watch the people of Haiti get the crap kicked out of them by the Tonton Macoute and all of the disgusting animals that they had running that country? And not to mention Somalia, which was a nation of children being starved to death by the scumbags that were running the guns and the weapons down there, all those warlords. Sooner or later, the world communities got together and say, no, you don't get to do this anymore. Well, what business is of yours? You are intruding into our internal affairs. That's exactly what we're doing, intruding into your internal affairs. Yes, that's right. What about over in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Bosnian Serbs and the Bosnian Muslims, which, by the way, the United States was on the side of the Bosnian Muslims in that little conflict, but our fine feathered Muslim friends in the Middle East seem to forget that one. We're just a bunch of assholes, right? We went over to Bosnia and we killed Muslims. We were defending them against the Serbs that were trying to kill them. If anybody cares to take a look at history. Yeah, sometimes you do have to do something, but the mandate's got to start with the people of the country, just grassroots stuff. That's where it's got to start. There's a lady here, Shirley Ann Harris. She's a junior high school teacher and a book club member, and she is helping to circulate a petition against this woman's execution, stoned to death. Now, I ain't saying that the Muslim people are bad people, or that this particular sect of the Muslim religion is a bad sect of the Muslim religion. But I am saying this. Every time religion gets involved in governing a country, now I'm not talking about the fact that the people are religious. I mean, every time there's some kind of a theocratic governance of a nation by a religion, when the leader of the country is a cleric of some kind or a mullah, every time that happens, we've got torture, stoning, drawing and quartering, boiling to death. We have the worst, most medieval, most horrific kind of punishment going on, and the worst, most medieval, most horrific kind of penal system that you could imagine when religion gets involved. Now, can somebody explain that for me? Because I'm out to lunch on that one, man. But that's probably because I have a history of abusive drinking. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, that great website I mentioned, you really got to check it out. It's called theelectricchair.com, Historical Methods of Torture and Execution. For those of you out there who can't stand the David Westerfields of the world and you like to call up talk shows and go, well, I think what should happen is he should have his head removed and then he should apologize and then... Apologize after his head's removed?
Yeah, well, can you do...
No, you can't.
All right, well then, apologize that I don't know.
Well, here's a couple of ideas for you. Beating to death, boiling alive, buried alive, burned at the stake. Sounds like a menu.
This evening, ladies and gentlemen, we have burned at the stake and eaten by animals. And I'd like to recommend the skinning and flaying.
Now, does that come with appetizers?
Yes, it does, sir. That's $9.99. We also, the chef is wonderful, drawn and quartered. And may I recommend this evening for the ladies impaling? Also, sir, we have the iron chair, iron bed, the iron maiden, the wheel, the crucifixion, drowning, blown from a cannon is really what...
Blown from a cannon? Can you tell me about that?
Yes, they stick you in a cannon and blast you out of it. Is that really...
Blown from a cannon?
You're positioned across the mouth of the cannon, and a shot's fired, blasting through your body. Now, that should kill you.
Oh, really? Well, if it doesn't, can I get my money back?
Yes. We also, of course, sir, this evening here, we have the pendulum, we have poison, pressing, the rack, sawed in half, death by insect, disembowelment, shot by L, Spanish donkey, dragging sword, throat slitting,
Spanish donkey. I took that once.
No, sir.
Is that an aphrodisiac?
No. You're smart, I told you, sir. We also have tied in a sack with animals, the cauldron torn apart between two trees, torn apart by horses, water death, water torture, the gag, the cage, the cat, and, of course, if you have any questions, I'll be available, sir. I'll go get your drinks now. Thank you. The cat?
What was that other one I read? Listen to this. The gag, water death, torn apart by horses, torn apart between two trees, the cauldron, tied in a sack with animals, sounds like a lot of fun. I really got to do that. Oh, I recommend it, sir. While you're staying with us here, may I recommend... What if these were spa treatments? This is like, these are spa treatments for a sadomasochist spa. It's kind of a resort hotel for masochists. Ooh, boy, I want to really, man, I got to relax.
Well, now, come on, Charlie, you know, you've been working hard.
No, really, okay. Let me, hi, can I get the hotel operator, please?
How are you?
Yeah, listen, You got anything thrown from a great height? Can I get pitched off of a tower?
Yes, and that'll be available just a few minutes.
12:30, that's great. What are you going to do, baby? Get dragging or the sword, or how about garroting? I really hear that the thrown from a great height or tied in a sack with animals.
You know, I really want to do that.
Okay. Can we get tied in a sack with animals for 12:30? Then I'd like to be thrown from a great height, and then, of course, shot through with arrows, and then disembowelment at 5?
I think we have an availability.
Oh, that's great. I'd just like to come out with a little, one of those brochures you get at those little resort hotels. And instead of all of the, like, Swedish facial and defoliation, what's the thing that you get, Janice, all the time? When you have your skin peeled, what is it? Defoliation? Exfoliation. Chemical peel. I just like to write down instead, pressing the rack, sawed in half, and death by insects, $60 an hour. That is a wild and beautiful thing. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to somebody here. I don't know who. Robert, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Robert?
Yes.
Go ahead, man.
How are you?
Good.
Listen, I differ with you just a little bit on the religion that you just put out on the radio regarding the way they treat their people who violate their laws. In a way, it is abusive humanly, but in a way, if you look at it, their states and their countries, when it comes to actual crime-wise, it's very, very, very low. Based upon where we live in America, where there's a high rate of crime, and our laws are not strong enough to punish these people the way we have to suffer as victims from these criminals.
Well, you're right. I mean, they have a low crime rate. You're right. They also have no free press. They also have required wear for women. They have political imprisonment. There's a trade-off there, man. If you're talking about, yeah, there's no crime, there's no rape, there's no murder, there's low levels.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And that's the way I look at it. But as you a got positive view.
You got a trade-off. Yeah, you dig that, huh?
Well, I don't.
A fan
like
letter
it.
To Saddam Hussein. I'm sure he'd like to hear from you.
No, I don't like the idea the way they'd use it. But in a way, I look at it as that's the way they've kept the crimes down, though.
Yes, of course, naturally.
You know, and that's something I really.
But
you
that's
know,
why we put it into the Constitution. I know it's they put it in the Constitution: cruel and unusual punishment. I mean,
you're absolutely correct. But that's why I wanted to just make a touch base on you on that issue.
Yeah. What do you think about dragging?
About who?
Thrown from. Why don't we have this as our national, form of capital punishment? Throw people from a high wall.
Well, no, not that abusive. My belief is an eye for an eye. Let's put it that way. If, for instance, this case that just went to court and the guy got death in prison
right.
for killing the Van Damme.
Yes.
Okay? I think that guy should not even spend another day in jail. They should just stick him right into the gas chamber and do him. Why
yeah,
should
I mean,
we,
the guy's entitled.
Taxpayers have to pay for the tax dollars now for the next how many years?
Well, when we're talking about a man's life, it doesn't come down to money. It does come down to justice. We want to make sure that the guy's guilty, don't we?
Well, I think we found him guilty already.
They did. You're right. But the guy's entitled to a certain number of appeals, and we have seen DNA evidence overturn certain. I agree with you, dude. I want to see the guy. I'd like to see him thrown from a great height or tied in a sack with animals.
I like but to be until able to see the documents. I like to see him be stuck inside a block cell and have him do exactly what he did to this girl by the guys inside.
I'd like to see him be on a road and then they roll a big rock over him like 100 times.
Oh, even worse.
Isn't that
Let
great?
Me tell you.
Or I'd like
Absolutely.
To see like insects in his eyes and put into the
his
ear.
His eyes? He
yeah.
Do something
make
with
him
his testicles
they,
or with his teeth.
They should, yeah,
somewhere.
Make him make, grind up his testicles and make him snort his
Absolutely.
Own testicles.
Absolutely. That's
right.
what you should do, guys
That's
like that.
What we need. Or how about if he has to snort a long line of ants? Oh, you mean Ozzy Osbourne already did that? Never mind. Good Lord. All right, 1-800-4... I like this. Hi, is the beheading by axe or sword available? Yes, 2 o'clock, sir. We have a...
Oh, thank you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Most people don't want to go here, but I'm going to go here. Here's where we're going to go. We're going to go to this place. Nobody, in fact, hardly anybody I talk to really wants to go to this place. But here it is. Okay. The government right now, U.S. government, has in its custody these, what do they call these guys? These combatants, alien combatants. like the dude that masterminded September 11th we just got in Pakistan and all the Taliban and all of the Al-Qaeda that we got in Afghanistan, right? Okay. Should those people be accorded? Should they be accorded the respect and good treatment that a prisoner of war is accorded? Well, according to the United States government, they're not really prisoners of war because they do not wear a uniform, they don't come from an identifiable national entity, etc. Now you have this kid, John Walker Lind, who's an American, and he was captured and was tried in the United States for aiding and abetting. And I forget what he got. Didn't he get some prison time? I've got such an up-to-date story. Everybody looks at me like, huh? All right, so here's a guy. Does he get accorded the constitutional rights, etc., of either a prisoner of war or an American citizen, or the Geneva Convention, I should say, or the constitutional rights? Does he get that? Well, I say he does because he's an American citizen. I say those Al-Qaeda guys, they don't. Now, what if they were wearing uniforms like Iraqi soldiers? Then I think they get POW treatment under Geneva Convention. Now, what if we captured bin Laden? He don't get it either. So now we get into the matter of all of these methods of torture and execution, which all sound gruesome. Beheading by an axe, beating to death, boiling alive, buried alive. It sounds very gruesome. But what if the recipients of these various capital measures were Al-Qaeda guys, especially the ones that did the World Trade Center? Is buried alive too lenient? Or being eaten by animals, or being drawn and quartered? What if we got a hold of bin Laden tomorrow and we squeezed him dry of every ounce of information that he had? He couldn't give us anymore. He gave us his mother's maiden name. He gave us all of his bank account numbers. He gave us the keys to all of his cars and to all of his houses. He was giving away his clothes. He just gave us everything. There was nothing left to give. What do you think we should do? Iron Maiden? Blown from a cannon, personally. Just the name of that. It is now the rule of this court, Osama bin Laden, that you be blown out of a cannon until dead. Oh, all right. Well, I don't know how long that's going to take. Probably when you land. Yeah, we'll blow you out of a cannon, not once, maybe two, three times, just to make sure that we got it right. The rack, and then we'll saw you in half. It is now the ruling of this court, the United States Federal Court, Osama bin Laden, death by insects. All right. There are many variations on the scenario in which the person is staked to the ground, smeared with something sweet like honey, and left out to eventually be eaten or stung to death or devoured by insects. I vote for that for bin Laden. I don't know about the blown from a cannon or death by insects. But you see what I'm saying? Now, these guys that they busted in New York State, the Al-Qaeda cell in upstate New York, these are American citizens. Engaged in aiding and abetting and giving comfort to the enemy or to an entity that wants to destroy or commit violent acts within the United States, like engaging in a conspiracy. But they're American citizens, so they have to be accorded some level of protection under the Constitution. They're being charged with a civil crime. This scumbag they got from Pakistan who helped mastermind 9/11, he is not an American citizen. He's not a combatant from another country. This guy is in my opinion, he doesn't deserve... You know, I mean, like a phone call to the mosque, man. I think they ought to get everything out of that guy, and then that ought to be death by cat. Don't clean or change a cat box for like 6 weeks until the cat's just really pissed, and then turn him loose on that guy's face. That's what you do with that guy. Those three guys that they busted in Florida, or that they at least detained in Florida, two of them were American citizens. And one of the things we got to remember here is that we are dealing now with Americans. We're dealing with American citizens that are turning on their country. Now, I know some of them are naturalized and not native-born, but I don't know that that makes any difference. The fact is we're getting into the area of becoming a traitor. You know, naturalized American citizen, born in this country, and you've decided to actively participate in the murder of its citizens and the destruction of the societies we know it. This is what we call being a traitor. This is what we call... A scum-sucking traitor. And we got to deal with those guys now. It's one thing if this guy got into the country because he comes from Saudi Arabia. He's just another towel head trying to tear us down. But when you're talking about your own people. By the way, John Walker got 10 years and a huge fine. Whatever that is. 250 G's? 10 years. So there you go. But I just personally believe with you know, you got to answer all of those questions, man, before you go anywhere else. All right, anyway, enough of this bull crap. The cage, the water torture, whatever. This freaking hour's been like water torture. All right, 1-800-288-1000 is the number to call for the Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party, September 27th through the 29th. That's 1-800-288-1000. Come join us. Watch us do the show. Party with us after the show. Party with us on Saturday night. We're going to have a blues and brews party. Go on over to the Oasis Spa. Check out the Raw Nightclub after the party's over with. You got free admission. Your VIP pass to our party gets you into the Raw Nightclub for the rest of the night. You'll also get two passes to the King Tut Museum. And as I mentioned, that free admission to the Raw Nightclub is only $348. Ask for the Phil Henry package. 1-800-288-1000.